A doctor shortage in sub-Saharan Africa has prompted a controversial move to train community health workers to perform surgery. In several countries across the continent, a new type of surgeon carries out C-sections and other life-saving operations. 41-year-old Mohamed Kamara in Sierra Leone is one of the country's new community surgeons.
DW.
I can see two heads.
A young woman lies in a dimly lit chamber that's both a doctor's office and an examination room. Mohamed Kamara, a heavyset man dressed in a striped football shirt and suit trousers, gently examines her pregnant belly.
Number one twin is alive. Is alive. You can hear the sound.
Heart sound.
That's the heart sound.
Heart sound.
Yeah. That's where you see is the membrane that divides the baby.
Yeah.
That's the second heart.
Also alive.
Also alive. Definitely, this is placenta previa. Very active baby.
With a placenta previa, does that mean she can't have a normal birth? She would need a C-section? Or?
No, and
this one is forced, because one, there is placenta previa,
although
type 1, but there is two baby fetuses.
The young woman is diagnosed with a complication called placenta previa, which means that the placenta is lying unusually low in the uterus, covering the cervix. Because of the complication, it's decided that the babies will be delivered by a cesarean section. Mohamed Kamara will be the one holding the knife. But he's not a doctor. He's a surgically trained community health officer, a new breed of community surgeons to form the backbone of healthcare provision across sub-Saharan Africa. In Sierra Leone, there are only two gynecologists serving a population of nearly 7 million people. Maternal mortality is one of the highest in the world. To prevent even more women from dying in childbirth, Sierra Leone made a controversial move to train community health workers to perform C-sections, another life-saving surgery. The initiative is not new. In Malawi and Mozambique, for example, surgically trained nurses and midwives have been performing operations for more than 30 years. The trend has now reached West Africa.
Yeah, task shifting is very, very important in Africa, especially Sierra Leone. Because in Sierra Leone, we have this brain drain. We have a lot of doctors that are going to other countries seeking for greener pastures. Some doctors, they leave the hospital, go for programs where they don't treat any illnesses, they just do programs. So leaving the hospital empties.
Mohamed Kamara is in his early 40s and has an air of confidence. He talks to the patients as he walks through the wards, prescribing medicines and giving dietary advice. Here in Cambia, a small town on the border with Guinea, he's the only surgeon who can operate on patients who suffer from peptic ulcers.
This is the major cause of death in surgical conditions in the rural areas. Before now, a patient has to travel to Freetown. Imagine if there is a patient from a village, a remote village, with perforations of the bowel. After 4 days, they bring that patient to Cambia, and from Cambia, I have to refer him to Freetown. The patient will die on the way. So that is why it was important for us to be taught on those surgeries.
It's Monday afternoon, and Mohamed Kamara has just come out of the operating theatre. He wipes sweat from his forehead as he steps into the bright sun. Green scrubs hang on the washing line. A dog sleeps in the shade. He puts on a suit jacket and tells me that he became interested in surgery after witnessing the rapid recovery of critically ill patients.
When you see a patient coming very bad, they bring in the patient, then after your intervention, you see the patient walking alive, going home, you know, that really motivates me to choose surgery as my career. When I was small, I remember I was telling my parents that I want to really do medicine. I want to know medicine if there were the funds. But the problem was my parents were not financially strong to send me.
He studied pharmacy and later trained as a community health officer. 3 years ago, just as Ebola broke out in Sierra Leone, Mohamed Kamara graduated from the surgical training program.
I was at PCMH, Princess Christian Maternity and Child Hospital, a referral hospital for the obstetrics and gynecology in this country.
In Freetown,
yes. When the Ebola started, I was taking my final exam in the surgery. After training, they posted us at PCMH. And during the Ebola, that was the only place that cesarean sections were taking place, most common. And the district hospital, very few operations were happening.
His friend contracted a virus and died. Mohamed Kamara was isolated for 42 days, feeling feverish.
I was just having the feeling that I might have Ebola. It was very terrible. And the outpatients were coming in and they were dying in that outpatient. Some, as they entered, they died. There was this patient who was severely dehydrated, pregnant woman. She was going around touching people. She touched my back. After touching people, she went to the chair and died.
Sierra Leone was declared free from Ebola in March last year. But fear of the deadly virus is harder to contain. During the outbreak, basic services such as vaccinations and malaria treatment came to a halt. Some people still fear they will contract the virus and avoid going to hospital, says Mohamed Kamara. For him, however, the biggest challenge is to find ways to provide for his family. He earns only $100 per month as a surgeon, and to make ends meet, he runs a honeybee farm and grows cashew nuts.
This surgery or this work we are doing, there is not much income in it. So we have to do other things. One surgery here is 300,000. So if you operate for 300,000, you have to pay the anesthetist 100,000 from the 300,000. Then you have to pay the assistant. The one assisting you is 50,000. Then you have to pay revenue in the hospital, 30,000. So all what will remain in your hand is 120,000 per surgery. So it's really difficult.
Someone comes in who needs a hernia operation or their appendix removed and they don't have the money. Do you just send them away or?
What we do, we operate them. Then we expect the parent to go and find the money. If they don't find it, we leave it as that. And we have a lot of those cases. They come on an emergency case basis, you operate them, they go without paying you. You see, some will be very honest to come back later and pay you. When they get well, they go and find the money, come back, apologize to you for the delay and pay you some. While some, you will not see them. When you see them in the street, they will run away. But you don't have any option, you have to save the life. Yes. This is how it works.
Sara Assarsson for Deutsche Welle in Cambia, Sierra Leone.
This report was brought to you by DW.